Hello, listeners. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to The Course of Course, episode 27.
Woo!
We are really racking them up now.
Yes, we are.
It feels like it's been a while since we podcasted, but I think it's really only been maybe a week and a half.
Yeah, I think every 2 weeks works good.
We are very busy as listeners, so we thought, okay, well, let's just put these things out in a more time-efficient manner for us.
And make them meaningful.
Yeah,
so
we don't want
to fill time.
Exactly. We don't want them to be stale or, you know, yada yada-ing too much. So we've got a lot to talk about this week and I guess last week. Okay, so you and I have had quite a journey. It's involved a family member. Let's just talk a little about that.
I think we should. Person gets a new job, needs to move across the state, needs to figure out packing their things, getting a mover, getting a new place to live. Lots of breakdown.
Yeah, it really kind of hit both of us from, I don't know if it was an ego perspective or what, but we were watching this person who needed to do certain things when you move from one city to the other. There's just a logical sequence of events that need to happen. And those include packing things up, putting them in boxes, getting stuff ready, and trying to figure out, well, where you're going to go and what are you going to do with your stuff. This all seems pretty simple to us. We've moved many, many times. Different country. We both lived in different countries. I mean, we got this down. We get it, right? But from a kind of outside looking in, we were watching this person struggle. And it was frustrating, I think, for both of us because we are, I would say, pretty organized people. And we understand the things that need to be done. And although we tried to help as much as we could, it was like watching someone who simply was paralyzed.
And was spinning out.
Yeah.
I mean, I got concerned for a moment and thought, are we going to have to go rescue this person?
Right. So we were kind of wrapped up in the drama.
Trying not to get wrapped up.
Right.
But eventually, when it was like the 12th hour, when the person's job started on Monday and they hadn't done a thing and was still on the other side of the state, then it was a crisis moment. And how does one deal with the crises without getting pulled in?
Correct. It's very challenging. I think we experience it to be challenging. When somebody is in distress and there's so much emotion that's flaring up, I think both of us have a soft heart and wanted to help,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like that whole mama bear instinct, like you want to help the cub, like it'll be okay, let's work through this. I think what was interesting is we were both providing options. Okay, so you don't have very much money, let's go down this road. Maybe this is the option you want to choose. Every time we would suggest something, it kind of was thrown back at us. So it was like we kept trying to help, and yet we were being made kind of bad and wrong because of it. So it set up this very bizarre dynamic. And so we were both kind of struggling, you know, how do we apply the course here? Because everyday life happens. And situations like this, it's like we needed to shift into, you know, forgiveness. And you kept doing your great mantra.
Well, I was listening to Gary when I got my car back after the car accident, so I could finally have my Bluetooth back, which made me very happy. And he was talking about forgiveness and the, you know, you are Christ, pure and innocent.
All is forgiven and released. Just side note, listeners, Stephanie was in a car accident, but she's fine.
Yeah.
It was a minor one.
But someone just didn't look when they changed lanes and banged into me. But I was listening to Gary in that moment, and it felt like a dream.
Right.
It's and like, my body was perfectly fine.
Yeah, you were completely protected.
Even though my car wasn't, and even though a second later probably would have caused me some harm. So I think maybe my own forgiveness lessons might have spared me a little bit.
Correct. And you had a series of rental cars, which were interesting. But you have your nice, lovely car back, so everything's back in order.
Yeah, but that Thursday night when it was in that crisis mode, I just kind of had to put my foot down and say, this is it. I cannot take this anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, Holy Spirit, help me.
Mm-hmm.
And the ego is trying to spin us out. And I'm just not going to allow it. And that's when I'm like, Janine, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
We're going to do this mantra. Right. And I wrote it down all over my house. You are Christ. You are Christ. Pure and innocent.
Pure and innocent.
And I said it every like few minutes. It obsessed me for at least 24 hours.
That's
but
great.
The very next morning, her paycheck showed up. So she now had money to at least put gas in the car. She had an idea of what to do. Like she was going to go ahead and pack her car and go.
Yeah, we felt like she kind of woke
up. Something broke through.
Yeah, she woke up and she did end up getting to her destination safely.
Yeah.
Which is great. But it was the next couple of days that was kind of fascinating for us. And that's really when the major breakdown sort of occurred.
Well, it happened again, another Thursday night. It's interesting that it's both on Thursdays.
Yeah. Right. So listeners, I don't know if you've ever had someone in your orbit, I guess, who has been in a situation where they feel like it's always someone else's fault. It's that whole victimizer thing. No matter what you do or say, it's your fault. Like they wouldn't be able to take responsibility for their own actions. And sort of what we were up against and trying to navigate through this. Like mm-hmm. we wanted to do what we could to help. And we do care about this person, but it felt like it was right back at us. Mm-hmm. So it was like this interesting lesson of trying to be present. But I will admit that I was on the phone with this person and I didn't know what to do. I felt paralyzed because I felt like I couldn't get off the phone. So I immediately texted you because that's what I do. And I'm like, please, please call. I will conference you in. I need help. So thank you for doing that. Yes. I needed to call reinforcements.
Give us another opportunity to reinforce you are Christ, pure, pure and innocent. All is forgiven and released.
And when you got on the phone, we were like all three of us were on the call for maybe a couple minutes. But you correctly were basically telling this person, you need to take control of this. And this person didn't like that and hung up on us. Again, listeners, it's like these real world situations that happen, whether on a daily basis or what, that is where the course is the most powerful. Because mm-hmm. it's this tool that we can rely on to say, okay, what just happened there? And that's kind of like we had a debrief. Mm-hmm. Like, wait a minute, what just occurred? And it was pretty clear to both of us what was happening with the third person. It was the same kind of pattern that you had mentioned before, but also it was that whole being lost and having the ego take her over. It was so blatant ego manipulation on her part. And we understood that she's innocent and this is ego. We didn't take it personally.
No.
You know, it's like we love her and she's innocent and all that kind of stuff. But that doesn't mean we enjoyed those 10 minutes we were dealing with it. It was like listening to somebody who was absolutely out of control.
I felt like emotionally I was hostage to her or something.
Yeah, and that's one of the issues I had. This person called me because maybe I'm a soft mark or something. I knew intuitively she wasn't calling for any other reason except she needed money and my credit card. And I knew it. And so I'm on the call with her and she kept kind of dancing around it. But I'm somebody who likes to just be straight up like, hey, here's the situation. I've got this happening and I don't have a credit card and I could really use your help. Would you be willing to do that? That's not how this person operates. So it's like I wasn't going to volunteer it and there's no way that was going to happen. So she kept trying to get me to that place and it wasn't working.
Let me cry a little and offer to give me money.
Right. And we talked about this before that sometimes people kind of, this is a strong phrase, I admit that, but like emotional blackmail, where they'll start crying and, oh, I need your help. And then it's appealing to that sensitive side of us that we don't want to see people in pain. So we want to medicate them. And sometimes medication is here's some money, mm-hmm. you know, go fix your problem. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't doing it. And because I wasn't falling into that trap, I think the conversation was just starting to get very out of control, which is why I kind of had to call you 911.
Yeah.
Please get on here.
It brings up our own guilty feelings.
Correct. Like I was very conscious of the fact that I was literally not going there, but still felt terrible about it. I've got the money and I could give her a credit card, but I'm not going to. And as soon as I made the decision, I'm not going to, all those feelings of guilt started really kind of taking me over.
The ancient guilt that Gary talks about, it just rears its ugly head. I had a real breakthrough for those 24, 48 hours with that mantra because mm-hmm. what I got out of it was not only am I projecting all this happening and she's projecting all her stuff on me and she is pure and innocent, but looking within me and owning that I am pure and innocent. That is a big thing that shifted in me.
Oh, too. Yeah, absolutely.
And like the whole mind is pure and innocent. Like I feel like it was an intense notch up on my belt mm-hmm. in my spirituality
Good
from it
you.
Because it made me see all the fractions, all the people walking down the street, all the sick people out there. Right. Like, we are mentally messed up down here.
Crazy planet,
and
man.
And it's just the ego spinning and trying to keep us all separated. It's pretty simple.
And the amount of effort that we have to utilize to get past it and keep reminding ourselves that was just an ego, that was an ego moment right there. It's that whole, I have to be diligent in what I do. Part of the reason why the course is basically saying do one lesson a day and no more. Because you need to pace yourself. You need to really soak it in.
Apply it. Look within. How does it apply to me?
Exactly. Yeah, listeners, that was a very interesting experience for us in the real world on dealing with someone who was not in their right mind. I think that's a fair thing to say.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. This week was really intense on many levels, yet I still feel I have a little bit of an inner peace that's balanced within me. What came up was, oh, it's Mercury retrograde. That's why
two machines
broke down on the same day within 5 minutes on our stage. You know, it was like weird stuff. People showed up 3 hours late to work, lots of miscommunications. It became a pressure cooker in our recording room and people trying to find who they can blame for it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like it's really interesting to step back and observe how the ego comes through trying to make people feel guilty and attack and blame others.
Yeah, the blaming thing is huge. I have been noticing that as well. Oh, it's your fault that my feelings are hurt. It's your fault that, you know, you said something and I didn't like it, so you're mean. It's that kind of stuff. When in reality, it's got nothing to do with anybody else. We were talking about those who can be very sensitive, people who we have to walk on eggshells around, and how challenging that is. And it's kind of unfair. Also, again, it's like a control mechanism. You know, I'm controlling you in a passive aggressive way, making sure that you behave and act and talk to me in a way that is okay for me. Because if you step over and say something, then you're wrong and I'm going to cry and therefore you get it. You get your just desserts. It's very hard sometimes in third dimension to kind of walk around so many egos and traverse them.
In that incident at the stage that day when the person was late, one thing that was interesting, because my slow burn, even though she was not happy with the situation, there's another person in our triangle that was kind of the nemesis that has now been accepted back into the family.
Yeah.
Like she said, oh, come sit over here with me. And he looked at me and I looked at him like, oh my God, what just happened? I feel like things are rippling a little bit more because maybe I'm calmer now and I'm a little more sane now and I'm taking responsibility and I feel like it's rippling through my work. So I feel like that's good. I even found myself that day when someone was saying that she was leaving the position.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it came up, but we were talking about life and how it twists and turns. And I just said, well, I think it's all scripted and we can just choose how we want to view it.
Do we want to view it
from love or do we want to be in fear of it? And they're like, oh, that's something that's interesting.
That's an interesting take on it.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. It's like you're slowly getting people to understand there's more out there.
I think as we own it and apply it and learn it, it is part of our job to be teachers and to drop it in here and there.
Well, an update on my slow burn, it's been a challenge and I will admit that I'm not doing great with it. Today, it was really a struggle for me to get into my right mind because I was thinking thoughts that probably weren't very ladylike, you know, which is why I'm glad for the weekends because it does allow me to reset and get some clarity. But it looks like I may have a potential opportunity to be away from my slow burn. And I'd said to you before, I really think because this one is so hot, it would be nice to kind of be away from her so I can forgive more from a bit of a distance. I have a better shot at it when you're in front of that slow burn and it's so intense. Mm-hmm. You need to get a break. So it was interesting that I had so much going on at work. And then we had this issue with, our friend. Quite the learning experience. But I do appreciate, although I don't necessarily enjoy some of these real world opportunities to apply the course, I think this one was really good for us because I felt like it became pretty clear what was happening instead of getting involved in someone else's drama.
Yeah, I mean, we've already given her money and we'd already offered to help move her and she wasn't ready, so we didn't go. So it's like, it's not like we were not helpful.
And we were talking earlier at dinner about truth and how easy it is to kind of twist the truth around and make it seem like somebody's bad when they really aren't, because it's also a mechanism of the ego to justify certain behavior. So I'm becoming very fascinated with that as well.
I still want to get that psychology paper that Helen wrote afterwards. I did look at my blue book. It was written in 86 or published in 86, and it's not in there with the forgotten song. Is it in yours?
I think so. I don't know. I haven't looked.
Because you have a newer version. Yeah. It's probably in there.
That's a newer version, but I think it was originally published. That was the original, not the text, which I think is what you have.
No,
right?
I mean, I have the Foundation of Inner Peace blue book from 1986.
Oh, I thought you had the pearls on it.
That's on my iPad.
Oh, now I see. Okay, so you have two different versions.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're in possession of both, so you're covered.
Yes, plus I did download the digital version onto my Amazon Kindle, iPad,
sure.
Blah, 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 but I haven't found it yet.
Oh, technology.
Yeah, I don't like the Amazon Kindle for the iPad. Just put it in the iTunes.
I do want to give a shout out to Becky Leach. Becky, thank you so much for emailing us, thecourseofcourse.com. Actually, thecourseofcourse@gmail.com. It was so great to hear from our listeners, and I thought you were charming, Becky, so thank you for reaching out.
She's in Florida.
She's in Florida.
And they're coming to Los Angeles, so we're going to get together and show her some gardens.
Yeah, we're going to... I promised her that you would just give her lots of stuff that she can take back to Florida, so... I did promise her a bunch of stuff. She also now has your car, so I offered her your car.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't.
Well, if they're coming to the beach.
Just walk. Yeah. So what else is going on?
I got my taxes done, feel really awesome about that. I made a little Excel spreadsheet of all my miles and all the dates of things that I did things, and it was insane in the last year. I definitely want to slow things down. Mm-hmm. We just finished production for an intense few months this week, like yesterday, so... I have the next couple of months where it's going to be kind of slow, and I'm looking forward to that and just kind of resting and maybe getting into that swim class I keep talking about that I want to do and taking care of my own health. I feel kind of toxic a little bit. My knee went out in the garden when we were doing the dig-in, and I have arthritis in my knees, so I think it would be better for me to stay fit and eat a little better. When you're on those stages and they cater and stuff...
Oh, I know.
It's like stressful a little bit, and you just start eating.
Right. It's funny how food is kind of like our...
comfort.
It's our comfort. It's like our medicine. It's like, oh, food with these make-believe bodies, and the food doesn't really exist, but we still eat it anyway. And so I was thinking, my mother has passed. She passed a few years ago, and my sister, you know, is intuitive, and she's been able to contact my mom. And my mom had told her that the thing she misses the most about third dimension is fried chicken, eating fried chicken. And then I thought, well, from the course perspective, we don't really exist. So we're not really eating fried chicken.
This is true.
So she could, in fact, eat fried chicken in the same way that we eat fried chicken in a dream.
Yeah. But maybe in that in-between reality, it's not physical. It's more a different dimension or something.
Yeah, but it's not physical for us in the bigger picture. I mean, it's our interpretation that's physical.
Well, they don't have fried chicken where she's at.
Well, I'm going to say, Mom, come on. You can create a fried chicken if you want. I don't know. Food is an interesting thing.
It is an interesting thing. It's definitely my comfort. It always has been. I mean, my dad was a chef, so I grew up having a nice palate and getting to eat lots of yummy things.
Right.
And
you do have a good palate. You have a good palate for food and a very good palate for wine. Mine isn't as refined. I'm trying to slow down my wine consumption. And there's nothing wrong with wine. It's just I was starting to get headaches and stuff. And I was like, I'm just going to ease up a little.
That's good.
You know, I don't need to have all that alcohol. Got to
drink
all the
time. Lots of water.
Lots of water.
Lots and lots of water. But thinking about the body, you know, there's moments when I still have this pain of, I really wish I could meet this great guy. I think it's partly because I ran into mud last weekend. And I was like, oh, there's he. I liked him. But I blocked it. I completely blocked that off. And it was partly because I was just getting into the course and I wanted to work on my slow burn and just transform myself and not try and bring in somebody. Plus, he was not in a great place and I didn't want to have to take care of somebody, which is what I thought I was going to maybe have to do. How not feeling good in the body is a block to love. And it's written, you know, in the workbook that the ego creates the body as a block to love, and how I've never really, I've never been married. I haven't had a boyfriend. I haven't really had a lot of love, and it's okay. But there's a part of me that wishes I could have that really special relationship, but not when I read what a special relationship is.
Right.
You know, now it's advanced to it's going to have to be a holy relationship.
And those don't seem to come around very often.
No, someone's got to have.
Yeah, but I was thinking like Gary met Cindy kind of later in life, and Art met Persa later in life. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if the holy relationship will come later in life.
I kind of have faith that it will. Mm-hmm. But then when I start to dream about, oh, you know, living in a calmer environment and what my day would be like, working in gardens and helping people how to grow their own food, then I think, well, why, you know, don't be thinking of these thoughts. Even though Gary would say, you are human, like you have desires and you have thoughts, don't mm-hmm. not be yourself. But there is a part of me that's like, don't get attached to this stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I'd rather go to heaven tomorrow or right now than any of it.
So I co-sign completely. I have thought many times, well, if today's my last day, I'm so cool with it. Whatever. But my thing is, if today's my last day, I would just want to make sure that everything's clean.
Yes.
Because they're going to have to come in and find my body. And, you know, I just don't want them to be like, oh my God, she's so messy. But I totally get what you're saying. As far as special relationships for me, I've talked about this before, but I'm kind of done with them. I really am. I mean,
yeah, special ones.
I've had so many, like, and none of them have really been fulfilling. So for me, unless it's a holy relationship, which, you know, may take some time, I get that, but I kind of don't have any interest.
Me either.
Because we have seen a couple of times where people are in marriages and they're like chained. It's the opposite of freedom. We are air signs, not that it matters, but we're both Libras. And at least for me, freedom has been such a huge thing in my lifetime. Like I crave it so much. I don't like being overscheduled because that means I don't have freedom to do nothing but watch TV. Like I'm like really, really zoned into the freedom thing. So the idea of kind of being in a marriage when I've seen so many that start out so promising. But, you know, I do believe that special relationships have an expiration date. They just do by nature. So, you know, you can be madly in love with somebody and think they're the one and they're your soulmate. And then 4 years later, you just want to kill them. It's like, I don't want to be in that situation. I don't want to be around somebody where I'm making them upset or they're making me upset. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, I felt like I never met anyone that I'd wanted to slow down to mm-hmm. be with.
Right.
Mature enough, spiritually aware.
I just don't see it. I don't see it for me. I just don't. And that's okay.
Wouldn't you at least expect it?
Maybe. I just don't know if I'm even open to it. My holy relationship is with God and the Holy Spirit. Mm. And that's the one I want to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's the one that is what's nourishing for me.
It's the only one that counts.
Right. And if I have a holy relationship, how great would that be? It'd be like winning the lottery. But it's also kind of like there's somebody else there.
You know, I just got this thought that came through is that my longing and my pain for wanting to have that holy relationship really is misdirected. It really is a missing for me, which is the answer of God.
Yeah.
So thank you for saying that because it helped me. It came right on down.
Yeah. So I had a couple, I would call them interviews today at work. And before I went in, both times, Holy Spirit, you got me. Are we together?
Wonderful.
And then I was in the elevator and I was like, okay, but Holy Spirit is me. It's just a function of me. I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, Jesus. Like I started adding everybody. Like I just wanted to cover my bases, you know? And both times I was completely fine and comfortable and relaxed. So I do appreciate that extra help.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Because sometimes I think we get so anxiety ridden because we get into our ego space. And then, oh, I'm afraid I will say something wrong or, you know, I'm not communicating effectively or anything like that. So it's like the more you get into your head space and not in your mind space, it messes you up.
That's for sure. You know?
And I think our natural state is to be calm and connected.
Well, I don't think that's the natural state of being in third dimension.
But I think it is our natural state in general. Yeah. But then we start allowing third dimension to encroach on it. I mean, there's no real reason to feel nervous talking to anybody because we're all the same.
Sure.
But when we're in these artificial kind of environments, like a work environment where there's hierarchy, mm-hmm. it's like our ego thinks that somebody with a higher title is more important or more special, and they're simply not. Everybody's just playing roles in these games, but it's hard to remember that all the time when you're confronted with it. And I've been around people who will call somebody with a higher title, like formally, like, yes, Mr. Smith, how are you, Mr. Smith? And it always made me laugh. Well, why aren't you referring to me that way? Like, it just doesn't make any sense because their name on an org chart is like different than somebody else's name. Human beings are really messed up.
Yeah, there's a lot of dividing, isn't there?
Constant dividing, constantly. But in doing so, it's kind of like my ego feels better by diminishing your ego.
Yeah. But they're not coming at it from a point of what I'm reflecting or projecting is bouncing back on me
right.
or reflecting back on me.
Yeah.
They're in a whole different mind space.
Yeah.
I don't they're know in the I, wrong mind.
If I mentioned this in previous podcasts or not, but there's this book, People Over Profit, and it basically just talks about how important it is to treat people with respect in any company. Because although profit is the goal of a company, you can't really become extremely profitable unless your workforce actually does what they need to do to make you profitable. So if you keep saying that money's more important than the people will leave. The people will not perform.
Like that's what the mindset is, though, of America.
Right.
Like, we are going to make as much money as we can, and we're going to farm as much jobs to someplace else where it's cheaper to pay them so we can make even more money.
Right.
So they are jeopardizing the entire population because there's so many people without jobs.
It's so true.
I mean, it's going to collapse.
It will. You know, we just have to remember it just doesn't exist.
China just was asking to get the yen to be the majority.
Correcting the world. Like
yeah,
the
monetary.
Common currency. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I don't, what was the feedback on that one?
People didn't like it. But within a few years, they may be ahead and they're, you know, might not be able to deny it. Like, I don't understand
it all.
One
of the challenges China is going to have with that is pretty much you can find an English speaker anywhere in the world. You cannot find a Chinese speaker anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. So I think there's going to be other challenges for China to get their currency to be the
number one
yeah.
right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gary and Cindy just came back from China.
Yes.
And they talked to like thousands of people and they had to get the course translated into Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about the cultural revolution there and how they're still dedicated to Chairman Mao. And so just how interesting it is that people still go out on the streets and sing songs for Chairman Mao, yet the youth, because they're still alive, the older people, a lot of them got murdered, like millions of them, which I didn't even know until I read that DU post today and saw the picture of them with the Chinese people. I'm something about China lately. Like, my favorite music is the Chinese lullabies by the Beijing Angelic Choir. Mm-hmm. Which I got a few years ago from my massage therapist. But that's what I was listening to with my kitty cat today.
Oh,
one of the songs is called Kitty Stop Meowing. And it calmed my kitty when I took him to the vet.
Oh, that's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
For Cindy and Gary, it must be really mind-blowing to go to so many different countries around the world and yet still have the message be understood.
Yeah. I was thinking back to when he spoke at Venice at the bookstore.
Yeah.
And I would love for them to record him the next time he does an overview like that. I don't care if you want to charge me money for it, I'll buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he presented the course, what it is in the 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
I think could be very helpful for everyone to be able to talk about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. That would be nice to have that maybe as a podcast episode. There was a new Gary Renard podcast, which we were so excited about.
Gary and Jean.
We don't get them very often. I think they come out every couple months or so.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was an hour and 14 minutes. So we were both excited about that. It's like, yay, there's... And there was a lot of questions answered, which we had been hoping, you know, moving forward in time. There's something about podcasts that I just love listening to in the car. Or walking. I take a lot of walks, so it's nice to listen to that on my iPhone. But his in particular, because I like that it focuses me back on the course, especially when I have questions that I can't ever remember when I'm in his company. It's like, oh, right, I should have asked that question.
So you have to write them down.
Right. So I appreciate when people ask things that I would have asked myself. So that's always good.
We're going to the August conference or workshop with them down in La Jolla.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners, if anyone wants to join us there.
I would love to meet you.
Giddy up, Mike might join us down
Mike
there.
Mike, mute, please, if you can. We would hug you with vigor.
And then the conference next summer, they're still accepting.
This is Las Vegas one, right?
Yeah, the lowest price is $449 right now through the end of June.
And then it goes to $499.
And then it's going to go up to maybe like $800 or so. So definitely plan ahead if you want to go. But I think we're going to go.
I think we are.
Whether Gary and Cindy go or don't go, I think that they want to go. They've been invited to go.
Yeah, I guess we shall see.
Time will tell.
We shall see how it unfolds. As this podcast has unfolded itself, thank you very much, listeners. It's been a pleasure. Stephanie, you have any parting thought?
Keep forgiving.
Keep forgiving. It's perfect. All right. Thank you, listeners. We will be back next time for the Course of Course episode 28.